In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful.
The Imam should be infallible, inerrant, sinless from all sins.
We should know that our scholars have all agreed that a true Imam is always immaculate from all small or big sins, right from his childhood to the end of his life. He commits no sin either willfully or by mistake. Except Ibn Babaway and his teacher, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, Rahmatullah alayhima, none of our scholars has differed from this opinion. These gentlemen said, due to some hidden wise causes, it is permissible that the true Imams commit a sahw, slight oversight, in some cases. For example, sahw is allowed in prayer and all other worship acts, in order to talk about and clear the concerning issues. But while explaining the verses of the Holy Quran or describing the divine commandments or spreading the divine message, the true Imams never make any kind of mistake. Please bear in your mind that none of the other self-called Shia sects, such as Zaydis, Fatihis, Batris, Navusis, etc., consider infallibility as a condition of Imama, except the Ismailis. According to our doctrine, there are many logical as well as narrative arguments in support of our belief. Some of them have been described in the detailed books, such as the Admirable Feat, Al-Fain, written by Al-Lama Hili, Rahmatullah alayh. It includes about 2,000 demonstrations in this field. 1,000 is about the necessity of infallibility as an absolutely required condition of Imama. Another 1,000 is about the subsequent catastrophic results of fallibility of Imam. Yet, we quote some arguments in brief. First argument. The Imam is ordained by Allah, because the people may make many mistakes. So there must be someone to protect them. But if this one were also likely to make mistake, then he too will be in need of another protector, guardian, imam, leader, or guide. Therefore, it will require either continuity of such ordinations or appointments, which is impossible, or, ultimately, such an imam will have to be there who may not err, and then only will he be the true imam. Second argument. The Imam is the guardian or protector of the Sharia, because the Holy Quran does not explain the details of the Sharia. Similarly, none of the divine code of conduct cannot be directly drawn from the Sunnah or traditions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, nor can they be known through the ijma, consensus, of the Ummah. It is so because, in a gathering wherein there is no true infallible Imam, and when everyone can err, the entire gathering of such fallible persons can also err. The required details cannot also be known from qiyas, analogy, because, in arguments, in principles, deeds done according it, have been proved wrong. Even if it is taken for granted, it is impossible to guard and guide all the orders of the Sharia, nor of the original clearance, bara'at asliyeh, because had it been possible to be acted upon it, the appointment of Prophet would not have been necessary. Therefore, the Sharia cannot be protected without an infallible Imam. If it is believed that he can also make a mistake, then his word cannot be relied upon, in the matter of worship and responsibility fixed by Allah, and this is against the aim of taklif or responsibility, viz. The obedience of divine commandments. Third argument. If the Imam makes a mistake, then people must deny him, that is, they must not obey him, and this is against his obedience being compulsory, according to divine commandments. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger and the Ulul Amr, those vested with authority, among you. 4:59. Moreover, if the Imam is fallible, it is possible that he may order a sin and may prevent from Allah's obedience. On the one hand, the people will have here to obey him, and on the other hand, by obeying him in a sinful act, it will result in one and the same act being a worship and an offense. This is a contradiction. It cannot be issued by the wise Allah. Fourth argument. If he can make an offense, then the aim of the appointment of an imam and the obedience of his words and deeds will become invalid, and this is against the appointments of an imam. The Bakris and Umaris scholars who do not believe that an imam must be infallible, they also believe that oppression and wrongdoing cannot nullify imamah. That is why, they believe in the imamah of the caliphs of Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas, despite their tyranny, injustices, and oppression. One of their famous scholars even says that an imam cannot be dismissed, due to his oppression and injustice, and Mullah Sayyiduddin, who has written an explanatory book about his beliefs, argues that, after the rightly guided caliphs, so-called Khulafa'i Rashidin, the false imams committed injustice and tyranny, though the earlier people were obedient and submissive to them. Then, he further explains that the wise men of the Ummah have agreed upon the eligibility of the caliphs of Bani Abbas. Then Mullah Sayyiduddin writes in Sharhi Maghasid that false imamah gets established through force and power, even if he is a wrongdoer and a sinner. Then he writes that if someone becomes an imam by force, and thereafter someone else overpowers him, and dismisses him, then the latter one, who overpowers the former, will become the imam. These are senseless words. Which wise one will believe that imam can be a man of the hell? Allah has said that a transgressor is a man of hell. At one place he says, and as for those who transgress, their abode is the fire, 32:20. At another verse, Allah says, do not rely on the news given by a transgressor. O you who believe! If an evildoer comes to you with a report, look carefully into it, lest you harm a people in ignorance, then be sorry for what you have done. 49:6. And says, surely Allah does not guide the transgressing people. 63:6. So, when it is proved that infallibility is a condition for a true imam, then the false imamah of the first caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman became invalid. Because all agree that they were not infallible. On the contrary, the imamah of Amirul Mu'minin al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is proved correct indirectly. Because the entire Ummah agrees that, after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, imamah was disputed between Amirul Mu'minin and Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and if that of one is not proved, necessarily that of the other is confirmed. Moreover, there are many other arguments supporting the sublimity of Amirul Mu'minin al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
It must be known that, those who believe in infallibility, have disputed whether the infallible person has control over his act of infallibility, or not. So those who believe that the imam has no control, some of them say, this is a speciality in the body or spirit of the imam, which demands that it is impossible for the imam to sin. Some say that, to be able to obey and not to be able to disobey, sin, is infallibility. Most of the scholars believe that imam can sin, is able to sin, and some of them have defined infallibility saying that it is a favor of Allah which brings a servant near obedience, because of which a servant cannot go forward in sinning, provided that it does not extend to the extent of atheism, and compulsion and coercion, and some have said that it is a spiritual power and that whosoever attains it cannot commit a sin, and some have said that it is a divine favor on a servant, because of which he cannot entertain a wish to disobey and to sin, and that there are four reasons for it. First, there is such a speciality in his heart or body which gives him power that prevents him from sinning and committing offenses. Second, he gets knowledge of the harms of sinning and blessings of obedience. Third, being subordinate to Wahi, revelation, and Ilham, inspiration, this knowledge becomes more effective. Fourth, Allah's arresting him on account of doing an undesirable thing, and of avoiding a desirable thing, so that he may know that, when Allah catches hold of him because of avoiding non-obligatory deeds, he would surely not be lenient to him, in the matter of obligatory duties, that is, in avoiding compulsory things, and indulging in prohibited matters. In short, when these qualities join together in somebody, he will be sinless, and it is true that his strength is not wasted in sinful deeds, otherwise he would not be worthy of praise for giving up sins. For him, there will be neither reward nor chastisement. In such circumstance, he will get out of responsibility. This is wrong, according to divine principles and consensus of scholars. Moreover, in these circumstances, infallibility will not have any distinction or perfection and grace, because, in that case only he will be infallible whom Allah will put under pressure, no free will. Research shows that it is because of man's intelligence and wisdom, and maximum engagement in worship and self-discipline, and Allah's guidance that man reaches a stage where his total attention is only to his Lord of Lords, rather his heart becomes totally devoid of personal wishes and desires, as has been mentioned in the divine verses. You do not desire anything, except what Allah wants. 76:30. And, the servant sees through my eyes and hears with my ears and walks with my legs. In this state, it is impossible for one to give up worship, indulging in sins, and even avoiding a desired thing. For example, suppose there is a man who enjoys maximum love and kindness and gifts and reward from the king. At the same time, he is also well convinced of the king's power and strength, and also loves the king wholeheartedly. In these circumstances, it is impossible for such person to do anything against the liking of the king, even if that thing is very easy, for three reasons. First, extreme love, because, when a lover reaches the truth of love, it becomes totally impossible for him to do anything against the liking of his beloved. Second, feeling of shame and modesty, which does not allow him to go against the wish of the beloved even in the absence of the latter. How then will he do anything disliked by the beloved in his presence? Third, fear and fright, because despite the speciality and ability and free will, if he does not care for his pleasure, he would certainly be liable to his wrath, and he would not be safe from extreme punishment. In the case of such a person, which punishment can be more than a change in love, and being degraded from the position of nearness? It is quite clear that, it is impossible for such a person to do anything sinful. Compulsion, jabr, is also impossible, because compulsion is a state wherein man's power and intention has no scope at all. At this stage such a man's ability and strength is never less than any others, as is the case with all sinners. For example, they can go forward in drinking wine. An infallible also has this strength, ability, and can do so. Therefore, there is not even an iota of compulsion here. The verses which prove the existence of Imam include the one in which Allah Almighty has addressed Abraham, peace be upon him, saying, "Surely, I will make you an Imam of men." 2:124. Abraham said, "And of my offspring?" "My covenant does not include the unjust," said he. "Every sinner is oppressing his own self." Ibn Babawi has, in his book Kasal, writes under the tafsir of the captioned verse that a man who had ever worshipped idols and who had, even for a second, made anything or anybody a partner of Allah, is not qualified for being an Imam, even if he had become a Muslim thereafter. The definition of injustice or oppression is to put or place anything at an improper or unfitting place, and the greatest injustice is to make anyone or anything a partner of Allah. Allah Almighty says, "Surely polytheism is the greatest injustice." 31:13. Similarly, unfit for imamah is one who had ever committed a prohibited deed, be it small or big, even if he had repented thereafter. And a man who was ever convicted, cannot convict anyone else. Thereafter, it is essential that an imam must be infallible, and this infallibility cannot be known unless it is declared by Allah through a messenger, in explicit wording. Kaisal, because such declaration, nas, is not visible in creation, like whiteness or blackness etc. Rather, it is a hidden thing which is unknown, except when shown by Allah who knows the unseen. Ibn Babawi has, in Uyun Akbarare Riza, reported from Imam Riza that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon both, said, "Whoever wants to see and touch the tree of red ruby, which has been planted by Almighty's own hand himself, should believe in the Imamah of Ali, peace be upon him, and his sons. Because they are the Imams who have been, among the creations, selected by Allah and are free from every sin and fault." Moreover, he has in most of his books, reported from Hassan ibn Amir that, During the companionship of Hisham bin Hakam, I have not obtained anything better than this. One day I asked him whether an imam is infallible. He replied, yes. I asked him on which argument should he be considered infallible? He replied, there are always four reasons for the commitment of a sin and never a fifth one. The four things are greed, envy, anger, and passion. An imam has none of them. It is not possible that an imam can be greedy of the world, because the entire world is under him, and he is the treasurer of Muslims, so for what will he have any greed? He cannot be envious also, because a man envies the one who is higher than him. So when no one is higher than imam, why should he envy anyone? Thirdly, it is not possible that he should be angry about any worldly thing, as his anger is only for the sake of Allah. Because Allah had appointed him to maintain limits, divine commands, that is, no one can ever come in the way of the issuance of divine commands, and in the divine religion, mercy does not prevent the issuance of commands, punishments. Fourth, it is not possible that an imam may submit himself to the worldly pleasures and passions, and to adopt the world instead of the hereafter. Because Allah has made the hereafter the most beloved thing in his eyes, just as this world is dear to us. So the imam fixes his eyes only on the hereafter, as our eyes are focused on this world. Have you ever seen anybody who rejects a beautiful face for the sake of an ugly one, or who gives up eating tasty foods for the sake of bitter things, or who may leave soft dress in exchange of coarse clothing, and who rejects the everlasting blessing and picks up a passing one? In Ma'ani al-Akbar, Imam Zainal Abidin, peace be upon him, is quoted saying that an imam is always infallible and that infallibility is not an apparent creation, which can be seen. So imam can be only one who has been appointed through a nas, clear statement, by Allah and his messenger. People asked, O son of the Prophet! Then what is the meaning of infallible? He said, infallible is the one who is mu'tasim, immune from sin, and who clings to the rope of Allah, and the rope of Allah is the Holy Quran and the Imam. The Imam and the Quran will not depart from one another till the day of resurrection. The Imam guides people towards the Quran, and the Quran directs people to the Imam. The Almighty Allah says, surely this Quran guides to that which is most upright and gives good news to the believers, who do good, that they shall have a great reward. 17:9. That is, the path of following and believing in the true Imams. The explanation of Ismat, which has been mentioned as clinging to the rope of Allah, is to show that Allah is to save him from sins due to his clinging to the Quran, or it means that the infallible about whom Allah has said that he is clinging to the Holy Quran, that is, he acts according to the whole Quran and knows the meaning and purport of the entire, whole, Quran.